This is your host, Sam Jarocki from J-Rock Lawn Care and Gardening, speaking about all things lawn care, garden related, and business wise, whether you do this at home for a bit of fun or if you're trying to break into the business. Sit tight and enjoy the podcast. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of J-Rock's Green Industry Podcast. Here we are on episode number 94, titled Don't Stand in Your Own Way. So, what's the backing of this podcast? First of all, I wanted to think about something that, you know, we face week in, week out, monthly, you know, whatever the seasons are sort of hitting us with, whatever troubles they bring in each season. It's something that we're always going through something. And with that, I was thinking, well, you know, what other factors are that at play alongside this? Is it different things like the growth within your business? Is that starting to worry you? Is it the finances? You know, winter's fast approaching. Are you sort of set up for it? For them periods of growth, have you got the financial backing, you know, from the year just previous? Like, what's going on? Where are you sort of heading with it? How are you actually doing as well? Because, you know, we often talk about this, and luckily this is talked about a whole lot more, but how you're actually feeling yourself. I mean, it was only today, and I want to touch on this soon, but it was only today we were talking with a good friend of mine, and he was speaking about sort of boredom within it. Like, when he's going through certain moments in the business or through certain times, sometimes he just wakes up and it's just not all there. And I kind of wanted to put this podcast together today to sort of tap into that, try and find out the reasons why. Is it because of growth, finance? Do you not have a clue what's going on? And that's sort of getting in your way. Like, what does motivate you? So all these different points I'm going to touch on ever so slightly today. And I'm not going to lie, it's going to be a bit of a shorter podcast doing so. But what I wanted to make sure is, personally, I'm going away again this weekend. We're flying down towards London for family matter. And I wanted to ensure I got this podcast out. So I didn't want to miss it. So this is a probably bigger podcast than what I've currently got time to record. But I wanted to make sure that I touched on it to be able to just get it out there, give you something to listen to. And hopefully, if it helps one person out of all the listeners, then hey, happy days. We're going to take that wherever we can. So the first part is naivety. You know, are you naive in what you're doing? One thing that is happening with us in the last few weeks here, or the last 4 weeks, I suppose it's been now, is we had a client and the big debate on, do you price hourly or are you pricing per job? You know, a lot of people throw shame on the hourly sort of work and that everything should be priced per job. But what I found is, you know, I am trying to do that. And every new client we take on, it's the first thing that I run by. Is this possible? Can I push out a per visit price, make this as profitable as possible, but also make it so it works on both sides? Because more than anything, that's what needs to happen. Otherwise, someone is going to be unhappy somewhere. If you're not making enough money, and if your client's not happy with you spending enough time on that property, doing grounds maintenance, regardless what that entails, then that is going to be an issue. So roughly 4 to 6 weeks ago, we had a situation where, you know, we were on a per visit price here, and we're meant to do an X amount of hours sort of minimum, very loosely. Okay, so it's the way we always looked at it is, as long as them sort of hours were equal by the end of each month, then we're doing the same amount of work in this garden. And situation came along where things weren't growing. We had an issue and client got a bit upset about it. We left about an hour early from the property. I still invoiced the same. And on the next visit going on, like I say, he had words with us and he was unhappy about it. And I've spoke about this before. But during that, the follow-on from it, it really left me in an awkward position because I was then feeling, you know, I'm very closely monitored the next few visits. And this is a weekly client, by the way, very closely monitored the next few visits. And I was like, geez, we've done another 20 minutes here, or we've done another 15 minutes there, or we've done an extra 35 minutes today. Generally, them numbers are accurate. And there's two of us on site. So really, this is an extra 20 to 40 to over an hour we're doing on this site past what we discussed is sort of a minimum time range. And so I was like, this isn't right. So I was left with an option. And me being naive in this, my naivety was that, you know, I'm not in the wrong here. what we're doing is correct. This is what we've discussed. This should be all going well. There's nothing for them to be upset about. And like I say, I was being slightly naive with the fact of thinking everything's in my court, forgetting that wouldn't say customers are always right, because I don't believe they are, but thinking that almost their say or their feelings with it didn't matter, whereas really it's probably the most important thing, because that's what's going to hold that client in your roster of jobs, in your clientele, is them being happy with the service that you're providing throughout, whether that's sort of price, the job being carried out, the services that you offer, all them other things. So I've been thinking about it, and it was only today that I thought, right, I feel like we're walking on eggshells. Maybe self-consciously, I'm ensuring that we're doing a lot more work now than what we previously agreed, just because I don't want to be caught out again, I suppose. So I asked for a conversation, and we basically sorted out the fact that we were going to drop back down to an hourly rate, and that will work out that we will lose somewhere, bear in mind it's weekly, about 11 months of the year, we will lose somewhere around £1,100 a year, sort of £100 a month type thing. We will lose by us cutting down this way. Now, you know, you could say, oh, that's not much, £25 a visit or so, you're losing out there. But it adds up. You know, if we're going to have this client for 5 years, that's £5,000. You know, you put that into a contract, then it's an extra £5,000 to a contract, you know. It would have been easy for me to be very naive and be able to kind of push on this fact that this is what we previously agreed and this is what it should be, because that was the agreement. Truth of the matter is, I really, really think that it would have got to a stage where we would have ended up losing that client one way or another, whereas if it was them dropping us or us dropping them as a client, because of how me personally, I suppose, I can't speak for the whole team, but for how I was feeling while on that site, it would have went, you know, either one of them ways for sure within the next 12 months. I know it would have. And the thing is with this, is where I was standing with it, is although we are doing a minimum set amount of hours, if you're going to do a big full day or something, that was all tied into that price. So the way I was looking at it was, it would be profitable then with them in the long run, like they will be getting their money's worth in the long run, whereas I was thinking that they were only looking at it short term. So it was me taking the hit here, I basically stepped back, and sometimes we get caught up in this rat race chase of, you got to make money. Everyone's got, you know, almost kind of like the next client has to be more expensive than the last one. And that's not generally the case, but that's what it felt like. It felt like you always need to improve, that you never want to go down to that minimum amount again. And it was almost a reality check to be like, look, you're not really losing money. You're still keeping a very good client. You're still making good money each year from that one client. This is going to work out all right. So the pro with it that I kind of thought of is, we have got more time on these visits that we need to do. So what we agreed today is that it would be our hourly rate per visit. What in the long run, we're going to have longer visits and, you know, be making some of that money back instead of being at that original price. So the first one is, don't stand in your own way with your own naivety, or whether it's ignorance within yourself, in that you should be right. Yes, you should back your own corner. Yes, you should push yourselves forward and really back the company, really to the end, if you're completely right in a situation. But I think it's quite a powerful thing to be able to stand back sometimes and go, is this fully reasonable? Am I being sensible within this decision? Is there another way around this possibly, where everyone can kind of be happy and I'm still better off, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And in this case, this is the way that I've chose to go. Now, I'm not going to say that this client might last 20 years or whatever else, but what I'm saying is that this, I believe, will make everyone happier in the, you know, in the long term, I suppose. So this is one thing, whatever your case might be, that you can almost relate that to. It could be a school contract and they keep on picking you up on certain stuff. That means that you need to spend that bit of extra time there. Look, a lot of the time, if you've priced things well in the beginning, you're making good money on certain services. You know, if you need to lose half an hour somewhere to be able to still make 5,000, 10,000, you know, £30,000 a year from this one contract, look, it's nothing as a bite in the bullet and going above and beyond. And I think that's sometimes what I find, is that the amount that you can go above and beyond is limited the busier you get. you know, it's all great in the beginning. I used to always say, like, above and beyond every single visit, no matter who it is, always try and do extra. And genuinely, when you're building a name for yourself and when you're pushing things forward, that's the way to do it. But truth of the matter is, there's only so much time in the day. And I found the busier we've got and the more my time's been taken up with external things now. So it's not even working on a site. It's getting back and setting up for the next day or writing out invoices or doing service agreements for certain clients that require them. Emailing back and forward, you know, these bigger contracts, whether it's to do with insurances or our environment policy or the name slipped out of my head. All these other policies, you know, these are taking other bits of time up that I can't fully spend an extra X amount of time each property going fully above and beyond. I do feel like sometimes they get exactly what they've paid for, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of people do that all the way through. We're still very happy clients. And at the end of the day, when you pay for a service and you know what you're going to get in return, everyone's happy. Like, that's all that is expected of you. And that's absolutely fine if that's all you ever do. But to go into this different side that we kind of have done, where busier and that sort of extra work has kind of dropped off a little bit, then that's been something, again, for me to sit on and sort of try and realize the reasons why we're doing it. So I'm not trying to stand in my way anymore with going, it needs to be this. I am at a point where I'm like, we still want to grow. We want to keep pushing and we want to build this name for ourselves and we'll continue to build this name for ourselves. And this is a way that I found currently that I think is going to be working for me. So whatever it is within your own business, I hope you're able to relate to that. But the next one that comes alongside is the growth side. So don't be scared to grow. It's something that I've said several times. We've went from me being part-time last year, as everyone that's listened to this podcast for a long enough amount of time will know. Then we went full-time. We filled that schedule by myself. We've then had Dale come in. She's been a fantastic worker. And then we filled that schedule, started to get very busy with, you know, little areas of movement room, but really not much at all. And then, again, straight into second employee, Ed, who, again, this was his first full week working with us. Done fantastic. He's taken the tools really well and he's eager to learn and to grow with the business as well. So he's definitely got a spot in there that's making us a very strong team the way I look at it. But it's scary, you know, from bringing on Dale to now taking on Ed, the same things pass your mind. It's the finances. Does all that work out? You know, what else is this going to cost me? Like, we worked out if when you bring someone on your books, we're in there around about an extra $3,000 a year from someone being on your books to them being a subcontractor. So that soon adds up if you're going to start going down that route as a small business. I think it's all right for a lot of the time for these bigger companies that you see people coming in and out, just like it's shift work. But for us sort of small, well, we definitely are, us small teams, every single one seems like a big jump and it is bloody scary. And, you know, so many people have, to add to that, so many people have bad stories about people coming in and trying to steal work or doing things like putting your reputation to a mark where they're acting dodgy with your clients or they're sat on their arse while they should be working, whatever it might be. There's a lot of things that can be very scary to want to grow. Now, I can't sit here and say there's a perfect method for hiring people. I think we've been a right place, right time. But the only thing I can think of that's helped is that the bases or the basics of the company, you know, the fact that we like to be respectful, the fact that we do a good job, we're not out there to do anyone over, the fact that we try and invest in good equipment, and the fact that I'm a bit of a legend, I'm joking, the fact that I'm sort of really hands-on with the work and trying to also share that fairly among the team, hopefully draws the right kind of people in, those that can see it. And that's a hope that these are little things you can do to bring the right people across the desk, even though that's not always going to happen, unfortunately. But don't be scared to grow. If you're at a point where, and this is going to tie into another point, but if you're sitting there and you're starting to get a bit bored about things and it just feels a bit samey or you feel a bit lonely while you're working, it could be a chance even then to go, right, can I grow? You know, trial it. Put someone on a 3-month trial or a 3-week trial and see if you can get the right person in and see if it changes anything, even if it means that you drop the amount of money that you're making, sort of net profit. You know, that's a hit that you got to take, unfortunately, that comes alongside it. What I'm going to talk into here, leading from that, is the boredom. You know, are you sitting there, standing in your own way, being bored? You know, is sort of the days going by where, you know, we've all had them, where you wake up in the morning and you go, ah, it can even be sunny outside, it can be lovely weather, and you still think to yourself, you know, it's a bit of a drag to get in the van today. Like, you know, and I've experienced this more in the first couple of years of working than what I ever did this year. But so it's not the fact that I'm working too much, but it's just the fact that sometimes it's just, it takes that little bit more energy to get out and go get after it. And that could be your point. You know, you're standing your own way going, I'm scared to grow. And therefore, I'm now feeling a bit bored in what I'm doing. I'm feeling a bit lonely in what I'm doing. And the finances don't match, so therefore I can't push for it. You know, who's to say you can't do something in this period of growth? If that is your situation where you're standing there going, I can't physically afford to bring anyone on. Think of it this way. What happens when you're fully booked and you know you're going to have some room in 6 weeks? You push that client in that time period, don't you? So you're very busy now with maintenance, cutting grass. What's everyone doing? Oh, yep, we could definitely can do your hedges, but it'll be at the end of September. September's now booked. You'll be in October. Can you wait till then? You know, when people are inquiring, you can push advertisements as hard as you want. Let's say you've got no room to take anyone on. You don't even have an employee lined up. You could say, we don't have any room at the moment, but we do in 8 weeks' time, you know, 12 weeks' time. If you will bear with us, we'll give you a discount of, we are usually, I don't know, £30 a loan. We'll bring that down to £20 for your first four cuts, you know, whatever it might be, so that you can mark people up to be able to then fill out that roster a little bit more. So when you've got someone to come in and you've now lined that up, you've got something to offset that cash imbalance where you're originally worrying that you wouldn't have enough to pay them. You've now might have 10, 15, 30 clients, who knows, already lined up, ready to cover that work amount so that you can make more money. So it's something that I think ties in really big, is that growth period and that boredom of what you can be doing and what you feel like you can't do. Because the biggest part of standing in your way is that your own emotions get involved. And like I say, whether that's boredom or feeling angry at a situation or the I can't do attitude, they're the things that are, in my opinion, the biggest things that's going to be standing, stopping you from growing forward or, you know, just progressing, I suppose, in the overall sort of terms of things. The last one that I'm going to talk about here is finances. Obviously, I've touched on it there within them two points. But as a whole, this is something that I suppose everything's based around. You get your single owner operators that are working, and even in some areas, you're working paycheck to paycheck, relying on each and every customer to try and get through. Now, I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong in this situation, because you might have, I don't know, just a bad luck with clients, but I generally think there's enough people out there that's willing to put the hand in the pocket for a decent, reliable gardener to come in and take care of their open space. Now, it might be that you fell into somewhat of a trap of only servicing one type of garden. Are you only doing these little small postage stamp front and backs with no large area, and they don't really care about them? It might be like quite rough estates, you know, whatever it may be. Have you got stuck in that environment that it's now harder to get the better client? Now, the biggest way to change this is through social media, whether that being your Google account, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it might be. Because if that's all that your pictures are relied around, based against, or more on the fact of if you don't even do them in the first place, possibly, then how are these bigger people ever going to see you and think, all right, I'm going to pick Joe instead of John? You know, they've got nothing to compare against. So look at these external factors of what else you can touch into. What other things can bring in them better clients? If you were sitting there being paid, I don't know, $100,000 a year, what would you start looking at if you were after the best of the best? What sort of things would you be looking for? You'd be looking for probably proof of what they can do, a list of services that's going to tick every box so they don't need to faff or waste their time on getting several different people for one type of overall service. So look into these things and change that switch in your mind of how you're thinking to, you know, I'm stuck in this place and, you know, it's just not really working for me, to other things like, right, there's got to be something bigger and better out there. It might even be the fact that you need to travel half an hour, 45 minutes a day to a different town, city, area, countryside, whatever it might be, to find this different plot of people. But, you know, that travel there and back for that first client, you could make more than if you did four or five of these little postage stamp areas in this one area. You know what I mean? So these are things I reckon people should be thinking about. But yes, it is scary. Finances are terrible. I am a stickler for trying to keep on top of them as best I can. So whether that's preparing for winter already, you know, I pay myself a lot less than what I probably could pay myself in the factor of I put the business first, in the realms of if something happens, I want to be able to react where I'm not going to have to go, you know, Dale or Ed, sorry, I'm going to have to lay you off. This has crippled us. I want to be in a position at all times where I can say, this sucks, but luckily I have prepared for this circumstance and we're sorted. So I try and look at things in preparation. Prevention's better than cure, really, you know, as that old saying goes. And therefore, I try and work it up so that the company is protected at all points from basically 360 coverage. So we're not only protected if we go into winter and get no work, we're squared that way. We're not only protected that if a bit of kit goes down, we can buy a new mower and get back out on the ground. We're not only protected that if a client, we lose, I don't know, a big client, that we don't have enough work there that we can sort of funnel other things in and ring up on current clients to explore these extra bits of work that we've already been, you know, massaging into the picture over the last how many years. These are all things that I've talked about prior on like the winter episodes about sort of buttering up clients and being like, you know, we can do this in winter, or I've noticed you've got this patio, we're actually doing pressure washing throughout the winter period, do you need yours done? You know, whatever it might be, we're trying to stay one step ahead to be able to be safe, you know, because that's what it is. But not too safe that you're comfortable. You always want to be on the edge of your toes. And this is something that is a very hard balance to get. But to be honest, through all of it, I can sit here and, you know, talk the high horse of everything being well and that we're super, we've got it all together. It isn't. And I want you to remember that as I'm chucking my 10p in here, is that we're not all sorted. I don't have everything perfect. I do not make mistakes. I make plenty. And the truth of the matter at the moment is I've got a great team, people that remind me of things. And I try and discuss as much as I can in the fact of I'm able to share that information. And we are then protected even in the fact of forgetting quotes or have you been to this property yet? No, fantastic. Thank you for remembering and telling us. I'll now book that in next week as you're talking to me so I don't forget. Because let's face it, we're all human and you can only write so much stuff down before you even get lost in the pages of what's going on. So these are all things that we try and do. And truth of the matter is the finances back everything, doesn't it? It feels like the finances back growth and it feels like the finances protect you from being bored in your company because you're making enough so you're happy. But really, it all comes down to yourself and just exploring other ways that you can move forward, be happy and grow and just make it all work. Last thing here is motivation and goals. So if you're bored, if you're feeling like it's a bit of a struggle, if you do not want to push forward because you're not comfortable to do that, have you set goals? Are you motivated to actually push forward? Have you even like sat down with yourself, like look, sit there and like look in the mirror and sit like look at what's going on around you? Is it actually going the way that you want it to go? Now, don't get me wrong, this is all focused on a certain type of person. Not everyone listening here is going to be agreeing with this. A lot of you will be sat here being like, I'm a solo owner operator, I have been for 2, 17, 34 years, whatever it might be, and I'm happy. I make enough to, you know, go home when I'm ready to go home. I make enough so I don't need to work the winters. I make enough so that I am generally happy in what I'm doing. Hey, fantastic. Like, that is honestly brilliant. If that's where your goal is and that's where you want to stay, I've got no dramas with any of that. Often I talk about growth and being motivated and pushing forward and this idea and that idea, but that's just because truly, it's not for content purposes. It's just the way that my brain's wired. My biggest fear within any of this is that something will happen to us one day, break a leg, you know, hurt myself, whatever it might be, and things will stop. If I was by myself, money would stop. And that is a very scary situation to be in. Equally, what is also not a nice situation to think about is that I get to 50, 55, and I'm sitting there going, right, well, I've always had three grand a month coming in. Like, I've always been happy. I've always had money. But now, how the frig do I retire? Now I'm going to be on, you know, what is it, £500, £700 a month government pension when you decide to go. And even then you're sitting, right, well, I've still got another 15 years to push until I can actually withdraw that. So my thing as well is also a long term. I want to be able to build this company so that it not only protects me into a point where when it comes to a pensionable age, I'm able to retire and have something to sell off, or to be able to, you know, promote someone else that's been fantastic within the team into running the whole thing. And I just take a big step back as sort of CEO and I just manage the whole thing. And they're all out doing the work and they're running around and making good money for it. That is sort of the plan, is that there's going to be something that not only protects me, but it protects everyone that's worked within the company and helped grow the company. That's where I want it to be at. I don't want it to be something that feels like a phase, or that I can only do for a certain amount of time and then I need to completely, you know, fully sell up and that's, you know, closed down. I want it to be able to look after, you know, families. I would love for this to be a 10-person team, 15-person, 20-person team, and cover as much of my area and more as physically possible. And it'd be known that I pay all staff a wage that is respectable enough that they can look after their families. You know, that's my bigger picture behind it. And to be honest, that's what motivates us. That's what kind of gets me up in the morning, is that I'm always trying to push forward. And even though I don't know the answers at the time, I 100% don't, I sit in a position of going, right, how can I move this forward? And what else can I do today to try and make that happen? And it might be knocking on a random door. What I don't do enough of, I should just knock on doors and facilities and have more of these in-face conversations. And that will come. And that will come before the end of this year. I will start walking into establishments and just introducing myself and, you know, pushing our services that way. But I'm always on the tips of my toes, ready to sort of go, right, let's grow. Or there's a property and it's kind of too big for us. Yeah, we'll make it work. You know, and that's just the way that I like to work with it. And it also stops that boredom, because everything can be a little bit newer for you, or it's a little bit more exciting. You know, when you get that first bit of kit that you've never had, whether it's a new mower, or you might get a certain type of strimmer that's new, or your first ride on, and you get that, right, let's get that to work. And it gives you that push, that bit of energy to sort of get it rolled out as soon as you can. And for me, like, that's what carries on with just general growth. Bringing in people, training them up, passing that on, and sort of, you know, that's what really excites me with it. So hopefully this has helped in some way, shape, or form, where if you hit any of these categories, worried about finances, you're bored in your day-to-day, or you're having more days waking up going, oh, this sucks, compared to, oh, I'm loving this, this is a fantastic life. Or whether it's the fact that you just feel a bit unmotivated in general, I don't know, but hopefully, whatever the situation may be, this has touched on at least one part of that, and you've been able to take something away to go, you know what, I haven't done enough for myself. I am standing in my own way a little bit by being naive with clients or with certain services, or, you know, I'm that worried about finances. You know, I've had that door locked for a long time and I've been scared to open it because you're comfortable. You're making enough money and you're comfortable. You're like, how much more money can there be to make? You know, on the level of being comfortable, happy, and where the stress level is adjacent to that, you know, you might just be very content there. You know, it might not be bad if you take one step forward, but I tell you what, if you do and it doesn't work out, there's nothing wrong with taking that one step back either. So yeah, hopefully this has helped someone. And just remember, I've written this down because it just kind of stuck with me at the start of the podcast: a castle built of sand will only last till the tide comes in. Prepare yourself, prevent internal and external damage, and proceed forward through it all. And it's just one of them, that something that you build, it may not be, you know, there to weather every single storm. It may come down. But the best thing you can do is to prepare in case that does happen. And when, regardless what falls out, good or bad, you proceed through it. That you just keep building forward and you keep on trying to achieve. Anyway, That's it for this week's podcast. I hope you have enjoyed episode number 94 titled Don't Stand in Your Own Way, and it helps some way, shape or form. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Cut Crew Competitions proudly sponsors the Green Industry Podcast. Cut Crew Competitions gives you the chance to win high-end commercial equipment for as little as 99 pence. We pride ourselves on high-chance competitions and even instant wins, with 10% of all sales going to the winner's chosen charity. So, is your name going to be next on the winner's wall? There's only one way to find out. Visit the link in the description and head over to cutcrewcompetitions.co.uk to enter today. Use the discount code GREENINDUSTRY for 10% off. Good luck, and we'll see you on the winner's wall soon.